All right, then. That's fast, quick, but here we go. It's been a long time. Sorry I kept you. I'm going to stop right there because I know YouTube be bullshitting on people's music. Anyway, man, that's your boy Big Game James. And that's right. It's not Big Game Sports Buzz. It's The Chop Shop. BGSE Chop Shop with Big Game James, the Buff Nerd, Jay Stoggs, and the musicologist, A. Reed. Get together to chop up sports, life, and entertainment. Welcome, welcome, fellas. How y'all been, man?
Good.
Busy.
Man, I hear you.
Doing playoff stuff, you know.
How are you busy doing playoff stuff?
You know, just, hey, we got to talk about playoff things, you know, playoff stuff, you know, look at rosters and, you know, just that kind of, you know, that kind of deal right there, man. You know, looking at sports that's still going on for my teams. Yeah.
Hey, you know, I always laugh at people that say we, like Mike McCarthy called your ass last night and asked you what you thought about what they're going to do tomorrow.
He did, man. He was, you know, I was like, who is this? Hey, Jay, it's this Mike. Look, I just want to know what we got going.
Wow.
What you think about that? You know, and I was like, hey, Mike, just calm, man. Relax. R-E-L-A-X. Relax.
All right.
It's just the Packers.
Bob Nerd been on them gummies again, y'all.
Hey, free your mind, free your body. And the rest will follow.
Anyway, NFL wildcard weekend, a lot going on. Jay Stoggs and I talked about it a little bit on BGSB Thursday night, but really haven't had a chance to incorporate this conversation with our man Reed. And, you know, you look at Reed's caption underneath his name, it says Bengals, 9-8, not in the playoffs. The NFC North was the only division that had all four teams with the winning records. Got three of their four teams into the playoffs. And so before we dive into these matchups, these coaching changes and everything else, let's go and put this shit out there, man. Does something need to happen and change with the format of the NFL deciding who gets in the playoffs?
How many?
Grind out a little. Hey, Reed, you said a whole lot, but I didn't hear not one word of it. Not one word. And you froze right now. Stoggs, what you think, man?
I'll take it. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, listen, if you 9-6, if you have a winning record, you know, and I'm kind of thinking of the NBA approach of, hey, take the top 16 teams. Go for it, you know, and that's the way you do it. You can't do that, but, you know, that's just something different. But, I mean, it is what it is, man. Your division is what's the division. You know, they talked about NFC least for a long time. Hey, but that's where your NFC champions are, you know, are coming from.
How many wild card teams?
One year they came from that. Now that's you speaking on anyway.
Big Low, what's good?
You have four divisions, and you have four division winners. Three of those, one gets the bye, the other three get in, and then they essentially get with three wild card spots, if my math is right.
Facts, Brandizer.
Jay Stoggs, you got the chat then? Appreciate you. This is the thing that's been going around, and the NFL has kicked the.
See how they do me.
People have kicked the idea around in conversation on chats and, you know, on podcasts and everything else. Why don't you just do the top seeded teams on the NFC top seeded, the AFC top seeded? You put those teams in. And not necessarily the division winners, because, like, we know this. The NFC South has been horrible over the last couple of years. Although I will still sit up here and say, three-time defending NFC South champions. You're goddamn right. I will say it, and I'll be proud of it because it's been done. I give two shits if my record was 9-8. It's still above 500, goddamn it. We in.
But that's what I'm saying. We was above 500 too. We should have got off in it. We should have been in.
But we didn't do no one. There's no one
in the AFC that y'all could replace. I mean, what do they take? Texans don't go because y'all, you think y'all better than them?
Better than all of them.
They're not better than the Texans.
Better than the Texans? Better than the Browns?
No, you're not.
Better than all these bums?
No, you're not.
Better than KC?
No, you're not.
Bums?
You're not.
I'm saying it as a fan. I'm saying it as a fan, but still, I understand. I mean, look.
Take your heart out of it, though.
Look, Joe Burrow going down was just that was like the – that killed it, man. And I got to give a shout out to Brown and Jay Browning for doing what he did and trying to keep the ship afloat. But he at least got us to a winning record at the end.
He did a good job.
I can be proud of that. I'm just saying it's just wow that how the NFL is constructed when it comes to the playoffs, that your team can actually be. And we are worthy. You see it. We can have a winning record and still miss it. But yet, my man – James, Tampa Bay, they got the same record and they in it, but that's because of their division, how weak that division was. So yeah. I mean, I understand the nature of the game. It's just, man, that AFC North is a bad motherfucker, bro. It's a bad energy.
Hey,
you gotta win those games.
Hats off to the North, man. And Reed, you're right. Browning did some things. First and foremost, as soon as Joe Burrow got hurt, everybody's all damn, it's over for the Bengals. So even to be where you are above 500, be competitive, says a lot about what you have in your personnel and what you can and can't get done, you know, point blank, period. Uh-huh. We talked about this in the NBA as well, like 1-2, 3-4, the East and the Western Conference, to where the NBA is talking about just going to a 16-team tournament at the end of the year to get to, you know, the championship, so you get the best matchup.
Yeah.
Something like that might need to be done in football, but I also think that it just comes to, let's realign it. Get a better alignment of teams that match up better, and then you still get the right people to end the playoffs at the end of the year. I don't know, at the end of the day, division winners get in, they get to host the home game. Now, it's like, I'll go back to last year. Yeah, I was happy that the Bucks won the South. I was happy we had a game. We knew Dallas coming in was going to be like us walking uphill on ice in church shoes to get that W with what we had going on, right? So is it always right? Hell no, it's not always right. But it's just the circumstances that we're given, and we just got to make the best of them as we can. But I want to see the NFL revamp some things, maybe a .4, point against system, some shit, something to make it where we get the best teams and best matchups. I don't think it's like college where you get cheated by a committee that votes you out.
And
votes their buddies in. You know what I'm saying?
It's
purely you when you're
division. First of all, it's not whack. They did it right. They made the right choice. The right.
No one's speaking on anything, Jay. Why you feel like your subconscious getting the best of you? Or you just got to speak on some shit. What?
Nah. All I'm saying is.
So you believe Alabama should have been in the top four? Even though they lost the game.
Over Florida State?
Florida State was undefeated, right?
Okay.
It should have been for undefeated squad.
You're telling me USF is undefeated?
It should have been for undefeated squad.
So, you're telling me USF should be in there if they're undefeated? Remember that year they were undefeated and they called themselves co-champs?
Yeah, they did. They made their own championship banner and stuff. Hey, man, this is my whole thing.
I'm saying just
the playoff, fix that next year. It should fix it with 12 teams. We'll see where it takes all that out of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, circling back on the NFL, man, it's you still have to have divisions. Because of the rivalries and things like that, right? You can try to take the top 16 teams, I mean, it's tough to do that. You're just gonna have to win the games that you have to win. You have to win your division games and then common opponents. Like, to me, that's that's been the biggest thing as far as, and I can tell you from the NFC East, that's been the biggest thing I've had to look at. Like, okay, well, who did Philly play? And who did they win and who did they lose against? And who did we win and who did we lose against? Like, it's things like that where you have to take into account who you playing and how did you, you know, did you beat them and they didn't?
Yeah.
That's true.
Them division games cost, man. I mean, you're looking at six games, six must-win games pretty much a year.
Yeah, pretty much.
You should have won 10.
That and those AFC, those conference games too. You know, when you know you play within that those that one division in the AFC, you got to win those and those two out. And the same with the NFC teams, you have to do it. It's never going to be a happy media. I mean, it's never going to be a way to satisfy everybody. But for the most part, like I said, the NFL gets it done correctly. No division wants to be the cellar dweller. Like, I don't want to go and do all these podcasts, and every time I get on there, everybody tell me how shitty the NFC South is. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to come on here and talk to y'all, and the first thing y'all say is like, look at the NFL. Y'all see, that's what little people do when they're not close enough to you to get their ass choked out. You know, nobody wants to hear that. Dogs is so excited now because we can't say NFC least anymore when we talk about the East because Philly represented in the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah,
Philly, not Cowboys, Philly, the Eagles. You know, Dallas still living off that shit they did in 95.
I mean, they got the Ring of Honor.
And got Jira. But anyway, man, that's kind of what that is on that with the division. I had to ask Reed about that because I knew the Bengals not being in there and even playing with backups, having people in and out the game all the time. But let's talk about some of these NFL coaching changes. We talked about it on the show last week, on our show, Reed, all these changes, everything coming up, and even at the college level, Nick Saban stepping down. First and foremost, y'all, Jared Mayo being named the Patriots coach. Do you think that this was a fast transition and turnover from Thursday, Bill Belichick announced that he's stepping away from the Patriots? They're going to part ways to Friday. Jared Mayo is named the coach. How do you feel about that whole transition and how things went?
Yeah, they obviously had that in the back pocket. They knew what they was going to do. They knew what the backup plan was, and I'm sure that they got with Belichick about it. I personally thought that it was going to be Vrabel from Tennessee. I thought he was going to be the next one up, you know, because he's had history over there. But, you know, hey, they said they wanted to make a quick decision. And then from what I'm hearing, there was a lot of people inside of that organization, Patriots organization, that said it was going to possibly be Mayo up next. So, it's just his time. So, you know, congratulations to him. Let's see what he can do.
I'm not mad at Mayo getting the job. Now, he was a hell of a player. He was a hell of a player when he played for the Patriots. But at the same time, being a position coach is one thing, but to not necessarily have the experience as head coach to where – that's why I thought Vrabel was going to be the front runner for that job. Mm-hmm. His style of coaching in Tennessee – prior to their roster going to hell was good, right? Mm-hmm. So I thought that he would be the smart choice. I thought he would be the choice. I can't say smart choice because we haven't seen what Jerod Mayo does. But I hope Mayo gets a chance to fix what's going on with that goddamn New England roster because right now I don't think they could be the good third-grade flag football team.
They're bad.
I think they're better than that.
I'm just saying.
I know what he's saying.
But there are reports. Yeah, but there are reports though that Vrabel actually wanted more control in Tennessee, and that was kind of the reason why they're like, you know what, we're good. So if he wanted that there, and they already had Belichick doing what he was doing in New England, and they were just getting worse and worse because of his picks and his GM and operations process. Hey, they're like, look, we're going to go in a totally different direction. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And it's really it's Belichick Jr. when you're looking at Vrabel. So they're trying to go in a whole different direction.
Damn, I'm mad I ain't got the sound effects hooked up to this damn computer I'm on today. Belichick Jr.
Damn.
Belichick Jr.
Wow, bro. You are tripping with no math, but it's okay. So start.
He's finna get picked up somewhere, though. He's gonna get picked up somewhere.
Do you like the Mayo hire? Do you think that it's something good? Are they really gonna give him a chance to get the right GM around him to get the personnel that'll be can be successful in that division, which now seems like it's Miami's to lose every year?
In insurance talk, he's the gap, right? He's gap. What he is, he's gonna be from Belichick to the guy they want.
Oh.
And so, the bandage coach.
Exactly. There's no expectation. Well, I'll say it like this. They're going to say all the right things, but the reality is again, they're saying, look, just keep it together. That way we're going to get the coach we want with the draft pick we want because we're not high enough to get the pick we want, surrounded with the GM we want. And then once we do that, then we can bring in a coach and GM that's going to go ahead and get the QB and set up the system that they want.
You see this question right here? There you go.
Yeah. Grandizer, my man, he always be bringing up these questions.
That the Browns would make the playoffs with a lot of injuries and key players out. I'm not going to speak on this. I'm going to let him speak on it, but I'm just going to say Joe Burrow.
That's the answer. The head of the snake got cut off, man, for the end of the season. You know, but again, man, Jay Browning did what he was supposed to do. And he was what he did was keep the team afloat to at least give them a chance to get into the playoffs. And that's all you can ask. You still had, your key guys. T. Higgins had got hurt before.
Yeah.
Jamar Chase had got hurt, but still you had Mixon in there that was still carrying a good load. Defense could have been better, of course, in a lot of aspects. But I tip my hat off. I have to tip my hat off to the Browns because they have one hell of a defense. Whatever that coach is doing out there, he's making it the best. And who would have thought that it would be Joe Flacco out of any other quarterback ever in the history of the NFL, that Joe Flacco, who was sitting on the couch, bullshitting, just chilling with his family, he comes in and he's got these guys in the playoffs. So anything is possible. Anything is possible. I'm not mad at the Browns. I just want the players stop talking all your bullshit because you need to win a division first before you guys can talk shit.
And my Kevin Garnett voice, anything is possible.
Anything is possible. Yeah, anything is possible. But,
I mean, their backup is better than yours.
That's all it is. These things happen. I mean,
at the end of the day, yeah.
I'm still happy we ended with a winning schedule. I'm happy about that. Trust me.
Y'all got to speak on what it is. That defense got them key wins at certain times of the season. Yeah. Yeah, and that's the whole reason they ended up on the right side of the bracket.
Games they could have lost.
Yeah, the defense changed that. I mean, think about it. They beat San Francisco, dog.
Thanks.
Nobody on this cast, and a lot of people out there, unless you're a true dog pound fanatic, would have said that the Browns had a chance to beat San Francisco. Now, we know San Fran has some key components out, but that was their defense that won that game. And those are the things that got them in the predicament there and now. That's why I picked them as an upset over the Texans, because Texans got some injuries on the offensive side of the ball that the Browns defense can keep them in that game. That's it.
I mean, I don't know if I would see. Well, I guess I don't. I wouldn't actually call it an upset. if the Browns win, I wouldn't call that an upset, man. Got caught off the bench. He don't miss a beat. Don't. Man, look, I don't think James wants to do that because it's supposed to be like negative 50,000.
Yeah,
bro. Out there, like, you know what I'm saying? And then plus you wouldn't be able to watch it because it's on Peacock. So hey.
The game is on Peacock.
Yeah, they tripping, bro.
Sure is.
I do have an app that can get that game for you. If you need it, I will send it to y'all after the cast.
Thanks.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But but Grandizer, the Dolphins could call me for one more giddy up. I go out there and I won't go in the game, but I go out there and dress up. And I put my Parker on the sideline. I high five everybody. Cause I'll take that playoff check right now, y'all. Fuck what you're talking about.
Square me, though.
Hey. Always be yourself. I would take that playoff check, and if I had to at least give two plays, I get one play per half.
I'm not gonna sit here and act like
I'm almost 50 years old, A. Reed.
Okay, you're right. Listen, you're right, bro.
I'm not gonna sit here when Dallas was looking for a kicker. Don't act like I wasn't in my backyard trying to figure out how to kick a football. Shoot, when they had open tryouts, hell yeah. I know how to kick. I can kick it.
Yeah. Man, you can kick it. You can kick it with us. You can't kick no football. Facts.
Hey, well, you know. Oh, I found that out. I kicked that ball, like, I think it was probably about the second, third time. And the thing, like, the back part of my leg really start hurting. I was like, what is this? This starts.
You got it. I'm sure you got to kick like a minimum of like 40, 45 yards, bro. Just yeah. Even get a shot.
Nah, yeah. So, yeah, I got about a good, you know, good 10. About 13, 14 yards on it.
That's not
even enough to kick a field goal after the touchdown.
Nah, but yeah, like my back leg bones start hurting, and I was out of there, man.
So you don't even know what the muscle crackers are, bro. It's just the back leg bone. You ain't got no name for the muscle.
My back leg bone, man, it started hurting, man. I was like, God, oh, man, oof.
Oh,
jeez.
God.
That's a lot of hurt for 13, 14 yards.
Excellent.
I thought it was far, too. I started, you know, I was like, ooh, let's measure that.
Hey, you know what, though? That's what a lot of people don't realize because, you know, it's easy to talk shit about a kicker, bro. It's easy to sit up and go, man, you got one goddamn job. Just kick the goddamn ball until you go out there and try to kick that shit. And then the practice uprights that they have, I know sometimes they don't have them set. They have like the little bars that's like for the Arena League uprights. So you work on, so you just write down the middle every single time. And so my ass decided one day to say, we'll see how easy this shit is. I'm glad there was no cell phones and social media to videotape that shit. When I tell you, it's just like, roll. Man, hey, and in the NFL, you kick it without a tee on the ground. You kick it from the ground.
That's true.
No block.
Hey, are you front kick or soccer style? You toe style or soccer style?
Hey man, I'm old country. I was toe punching the hell out of the goddamn ball. Yeah. Hey, you said you had back muscle pain. I think I broke my toe. I think I had to buddy tape my big toe and my second toe to walk around for about a week because I thought I was gonna break my toe from toe punching it.
Wow, that's the only way I would know how to kick it.
Hey man, like, I'm not gonna lie. I remember back in the day, we made like a little noose on a string for like guys that kicked. They would put it over the toe part of their cleat and pull it over and pull you. And pull your cleat up so you kicked it, you didn't toe punch. And I was like, you know, I was that kind of kicker. Like that Tony Danza movie. Garbage pail picking, garbage can kicking. Yeah, I was like the garbage can kicker.
Bro, your movie references are so wild. Like what?
You never heard of that movie?
No one has, man. I keep telling you, you know what? You were Tubi before Tubi, bro. Like you.
Hey man. Hey Wallace, what's up, dog? Hey, stop. Hey, I'm telling you, bro. Tony Danza, okay, this movie, it was made for TV. It wasn't like no great theater movie. Tony Danza was a garbage man. And he got mad and he kicked the truck. Like something was broke on the trash truck. Tony Danza kicked that motherfucker. And somebody saw it and said, hey, you should kick for the Eagles. Next thing you know, he's the field goal kicker for the Philadelphia Eagles.
What kind of shit?
I can't make it up. I saw it. Hey, it's called the field goal kicking garbage pill picking. And it's Tony Danza as a kicker for the Philadelphia Eagles, dog.
It's based on a true story?
You know, no, that's, it's made up shit. It's made up. It's made up. It's
that makes up. That makes so much sense because there's so many movies, I believe, about Philadelphia Eagles players. They like coachmen, or they work in a bar, or they were bouncers and they got on the team. You know what I'm saying? It's like the Mark Wahlberg movie. I don't know. You know, I'm like,
but that was a real, that was a true story though. That was a true story.
I understand, but that's what I'm saying though. That's what I'm saying though. The Eagles are always, it's like just regular old ass people that can play for the team.
I mean, look, my man Granddad.
Wow. The garbage picking, field goal kicking. Philadelphia Phoenix. This sounds, it, I mean, just reading it is like Ric Flair saying, garbage picking, field goal kicking.
Now, Jason, I did not say this movie was great. Now, I did not say this movie was great. I just said that it was a movie. But I will tell you this. Bruh. The fish that say Pittsburgh is fucking awesome. You need to check it out, man. I'm telling you.
I'm not going to talk about that. Okay.
The fish that say Pittsburgh is off the chain.
Oh, my God.
The chop shop, bro.
Jay Stiles was born in 98.
Just remember that movie again. Jay Stiles,
Jay Stiles not that young. Wow. Reed is young. Jay Stark's not young. He just called me old.
Boy, I was born in 85, bro. 85. I just never heard about that movie.
Yeah. You good. Like I said, it was a made-for-TV movie,
man,
bro.
Chopping up, man. I can't even.
If Stark was born in 98, oh, he'd been aging fast, man.
I think Stark was born in 81. Uh-oh, his Wi-Fi, his hotspot to get cold. Oh, damn, his hotspot. Oh, there he goes.
Oh.
Shit, there goes the buff nerd. Oh, there he is. I'm sorry. And then,
look at him.
Don't look so upset. Hey. Tony Danza kicked your ass off the podcast like he kicked them field goals from the trash truck. Oh, shit.
Hey, but hey, no. You know what, Brandon? I was around in 98.
Hey, White Shadow. Granddaddy, they don't know about that either, dog. But the White Shadow was a great team. It was a great show. We're talking about the coaching changes. Mayo replaces Belichick. So that job, New England job, is gone. There's a bunch of other interviews going on right now. Where do y'all see Belichick's future?
Word on the street is ATL, man.
I know Atlanta trying. Do you think he would take that Atlanta job?
I don't know.
Wallace is in here. Wallace, if you're still in here, man, jump in and let us know what you think, dog. Like
Big Low, I thought I saw him too. Big Low was in here earlier.
I don't know if Low is still here or not. If he is, he can chime in on it. Can he put himself back in the you need to go get some hand warmers for your hot spot. Then you got cold on us.
Put it in another spot when it's cold out there.
Go sit there in the windowsill.
Y'all doing it on purpose. That's what? Y'all kicking me off. They don't see that.
Ain't nobody doing it on purpose, bro.
Oh, no. I mean, we would never kick out Dub Buff Nerd.
Never, bro.
Now, I'm not going to lie. I thought about when I saw Cowboys War Room Annex, I did think about not letting your ass in the broadcast. I was like, fuck all this. He can't come in with that. He got to change his name first. But hey, Stas, Reed said he heard through the grapevine that the Atlanta Falcons really, really want Belichick. And country, I don't know Big Low's still on or Wallace still on to chime in. But do you see Atlanta being a fit for Belichick?
You know, oddly enough, man, I think we – I don't know if we talked about it, but I actually could – yeah, I'm trying to be serious, man. What are you talking about, Grand Dice? I think it could. Reason why I say that is they – because Arthur Blank, you know, doesn't really, yeah, they have a good relationship. But also because Arthur Blank is the type of owner where he does not interfere, from what I can tell, with the coach and with that system. He's like,
true. But they got Terry Fontenot as the GM, so, and Rich McKay is still an advisor, I believe, for them.
Yeah, so I mean, and I think if Belichick steps back from the GM role a little bit, but hey, you know, he's obviously going to have his input. I can still see that. He's going to get another quarterback, that's for sure.
No doubt.
They have a good running back.
Good tight end.
They just drafted. Ritter is not the dude.
They will start drafting straight defense, I think, to try to get his to get the defense up to part of what he wants.
They could find a possible, maybe a backup somewhere, somebody that was a backup that could probably play quarterback for the time being to kind of, you know, just keep the ship afloat. Cool. I will say this though, but this is the thing, because we're looking at Atlanta, we're looking at Carolina, we're looking at Tennessee, you know, a lot of these jobs. I think the most attractive job out there is the Chargers, but I think the Chargers have who they pretty much want in their minds, and I don't think it's Belichick. And then at the same time, it's not like Belichick. Now, understand this, Belichick is probably one of the most storied head coaches in the league of, you know, in the NFL league and NFL history. So then you gotta think, well, which owner would want to bring him in that could actually bring in some more, you know, revenue, hype, tickets and stuff like that. You know, think of a team that's just been bad for quite a while. You know, if they had a coach in Belichick that people would want to come out there and see, you know, and buy tickets to see. So, I mean, I could see Atlanta doing it, but at the same time, I could see Carolina trying to pull that. You know,
I don't think he could work with Tepper. Tepper's a jackass. I don't see Belichick being able to commingle with somebody as stupid as this owner. I mean, the dude threw a couple ice at a fan because they booed after they threw another goddamn interception in front of all 50 fans.
Yeah. Oh, 50. Wow.
Hey, I think the Chargers are trying to get Harbaugh as well. I don't know what's going to happen, but I think that's who the Chargers really want. If he doesn't leave Michigan, then I think they rethink what they can. I know Tepper wants Harbaugh also in Carolina. Like I said, though, I don't know what coach in their right mind would touch that Carolina job.
If Chargers don't get Harbaugh, don't be surprised if Belichick ends up there, because now he has a quarterback that he can work with. He's got some pieces over there.
Yeah, but was he really the quarterback guy? I mean, we keep talking about a quarterback because they ended up with Brady.
It wasn't the fact that he's a quarterback guy. It's the fact that he had a quarterback that could run that system that he had. And Brady did.
And he had a good OC.
He had a good OC. Yeah. Now, that's going to be the issue. That's going to be the issue, because if he goes to the Chargers, Belichick goes to the Chargers, is he going to be able to trust Kellen Moore
in Vegas?
Oh, dog, let me tell you this. Whoever comes in, Kellen Moore probably looking for a job this year. I don't think no one on that staff is retained. I don't think anyone from that Chargers staff is retained. That staff was shit.
Yeah.
I think that whole staff is gone. I think Belichick comes in and brings his whole own regime. Ain't no leftovers for that shit. I don't think so.
You know what? I would agree with you the fact that the Chargers would probably be the best fit for him, even though I do believe Justin Herbert is a top 15 quarterback, 13 at most.
Or
at
best. I'm still not sold on that cat, bro. And maybe he just hasn't had the weapons to prove me otherwise yet.
What has he had to his first coach was shit. I mean, then you give him another opportunity. Then you give him the Cowboys. And you see what the that shit sucks.
Then you give Anthony Lynn did decent with Tyrod Taylor as his quarterback in San Diego. And they didn't give him enough chance. They run him out of town, and they go, oh, shit, we messed up. We wanted somebody else who can't do this shit. Yeah. At least they were relevant on defense at that time, and they were sustainable on offense. They just fell off the map. Ooh.
Seattle. I forgot all about that. Seattle, that might be a good look, too. That might be a good look, too. And watch Pete Carroll go, oh, wow. This is going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see who goes where. But I think there's nobody that wants the Carolina job. And I think whoever goes to Carolina is probably just somebody who just wants that opportunity to coach.
Yeah. Reed, you're dead on. You're dead on. That the Carolina job is going to have to be for a young person that's trying to prove that they can be amongst the NFL coaching ranks and building something up. An older coach that's already been established is not going to be the one that's going to take that Carolina job. An established coach that has, you know, a reputation, I don't see them going in working with a Tepper.
Man, listen, nobody goes to watch Carolina games anyway.
They did when Cam was there.
When Cam was there, when you had Ron Rivera, you had something.
Wait. Wow, Patricia. Ooh, pull it up, my grandpa.
Wow.
Wait.
Real talk, though. Real talk.
And Matt Patricia
did you just say? Did you just say? Say that again, man.
Who are you talking to?
No, I'm talking to Reed. What'd you just say, man? About
Carolina? When they had Cam Newton over there?
Okay, that's what I thought you said.
That's when people
were coming. How long ago was that?
It was a while back. Okay,
yeah.
I get it. But the question was when was the last time people came to go watch Carolina?
Facts, that is what we said.
This season,
you had something that was beneficial to watch on the
field. At a game.
Even when Cam came back for like that one or two games or whatever that he came back that one season, when people was happy to see Cam come back there, they ain't had nothing since.
They were selling.
Oh, Bryce Young.
They were selling tickets for 77 cents. To a professional football game in Carolina. Oh,
with every game, too.
Those are facts.
77 cents?
I'm not laughing at that. No, you're right.
$25 to get me on the 50-yard line?
You made me look that shit up, and I was wetting my pants on that. Oh, hell no. I can't do that again. I can't do that again. Bro,
77 cents for a professional football game.
But, dude, like Grandad said, Jerry Richardson was the owner, and if it didn't come out that he had made some somewhat racist remarks or whatever, he would still be owner. That team would probably be in better – or his family would still have ownership. The team would be in a better state. They got a business guy in there that wants to be a football guy, and his shit don't work for him. He doesn't have the personality to be a successful NFL owner. I just don't see it right now. Yeah, Carolina's a dumpster fire, bro. I don't see nobody, like I said, really want that job unless that's like either going to be the coaching graveyard or the bounce back of the year.
That's not a deal. 70% is not a deal. It's the new Browns. Be giving it away.
It's the new Browns.
You said.
Stogs, he froze again. He froze. He about to go bye bye. Look at him. He going bye bye.
It's cold as hell.
Cold as ice. So that's done. We had Belichick. We talked about that. So there were seven jobs. And one thing that came up on our show the other night, Reed, that kind of stuck in my mind today when I was thinking about things. Washington Commanders made a change. Rivera's gone. They had hired Eric Bieniemy supposedly as coach in waiting, or going to be the next head coach. We haven't heard anything that Bieniemy is going to be the coach, right? Mm-hmm. Does it change the dynamic and makeup of what the Commanders are going to do, and what does that mean for Eric Bieniemy?
If there's any time that Bieniemy needs to become the head coach of a team, it would be now.
And do you still think that the Commanders would be the team that he needs to be the head coach of? Or do you think that he needs to look elsewhere?
They should be the team. Now, the fact has he been getting interviews from other teams?
Oh, man, I got to pull up and see who's been doing what, man, because I know a lot of the players said that he came in rubbing them the wrong way. But at the same time, we know that there was an accountability by Eric Bieniemy, and the team did start performing a little bit better. It had to be to where Ron Rivera was not holding them accountable. They weren't doing a lot of things well. We knew the season wasn't going well. We knew the changes were going to happen. But does Bieniemy really have a chance to have that job, or does he even really want that job? Or is it like, you know what, it's time to go elsewhere and do something else somewhere else? Jay Styles, we're talking about Eric Bieniemy. After you and I talked about how he was supposed to be the next coach and waiting, and then all this happens in D.C. with the Commanders.
What would have been the reason for him to leave KC then?
Well, it's a little bit more money to be that coordinator, and then supposedly get the job once Rivera retired. But yet he got fired. He didn't get a chance to just step up gracefully.
I'm saying, if any time, it'll be now.
Are any of these coach firings have coaches that should help out the Buccaneers, the Bengals, or the Cowboys? Oh, wow. Grandizer, I have not thought about that in a whole as far as the coaches that are out there, where they could step in and do other things and what they would be good at. I don't know. I mean, Belichick, you look at some of these coaches out there. Belichick, to me, he's head coach or nothing. Belichick isn't taking a coordinator's job, right. And nor should he. He has a reputation that speaks for itself to where he's a head coach. Right. If Antonio Pierce was not to get the Raiders job, I wouldn't mind seeing if Todd Bowles was retained in Tampa, I wouldn't mind seeing Todd reach out to AP and have him come in and be the coordinator, because Todd Bowles was taking on both roles. And Everyone who knows me and heard me talk on games, Peter perspective, I am not a fan of your head coach doubling up and being a coordinator as well, especially when the margin of error is a lot smaller for Todd Bowles than it is a lot of the people. So I believe that he needs to really focus on just being the head coach and have other people in place to do the things they need to do to help the team be successful. So that's one person that I could see. I could see, coming over to Tampa. Antonio Pierce, if he got let go by the Raiders, to come on and be the DC in Tampa.
He should be the Raiders coach. He should be the Raiders coach. He should.
No doubt.
I know that he's interviewing with Tennessee. He's interviewing for Tennessee. Yeah,
but so AP and Vrabel not that different.
No,
but I feel you.
No, they're not. I mean, it's you run, have good defense. If you set it up with that, and get you a quarterback and an OC And again, I keep pointing back to that, man. Look, if you're a defensive coach, you got to get a good OC that's willing to play the game as it is now. The game is very different than what it was.
Yes. Say, go ahead, Reed.
Say Stogs, man. If Cowboys don't win it, where you see Dan Quinn, man? Is he coming back? Because he's a hot commodity, too.
If they win it, he gone. I think win or lose, Dan Quinn's going to be out there. Somebody's going to try to hire him.
True. And I think it really comes down to, honestly, how much does Jerry Jones want to keep Dan Quinn as opposed to McCarthy? Because he has been known to fire a Super Bowl winning coach.
True.
So he could say, you know what? Dan Quinn's the future. McCarthy, thank you. Appreciate you.
Hold on, dog. Let me. So you think what Super Bowl coach has he fired before? And don't say Barry Switzer, because we all know that was a puppet, the feeling for Jimmy.
Jimmy was the only other Super Bowl. Yeah, Jimmy was the only other one he's had. Who else won a Super Bowl?
Right after he won it.
Yeah. So, and I guess Jimmy's the only one that you need to fire for it to be of relevance of why we even talk about it. You're right. I feel you on that.
True. I don't know, man. I think it's a hard thing because if it were me, I'd just go to him and say, listen, we're going to pay you like a head coach, but you're going to be the DC. We're going to pay you like the head coach. Because this is what I told someone last night. You can look at how great they were this whole season in the past three seasons since he's been here, two seasons, whatever. Great defense. Amazing. Out of this world. But people still remember Atlanta. And they still remember the Super Bowl.
Damn.
And you know,
facts, man.
You get if he goes and interviews for a head coaching job, he'll get it. I guaranteed he'll get it. But that always will be that
question. That's my hangover.
Yeah, but is he going to choke in a big game?
He's going to win to get that off, get that from over his head. You're right.
He has to win a Super Bowl to get it off.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So if you say, hey, look, I'm going to pay you like a head coach, but you can be the DC of this great defensive unit and your name can go, like, here's the deal, bro. People don't remember Buddy Ryan for being the head coach. You know what they remember him for?
The 46 defense.
85 Bears. The 46 defense and the 85 Bears. And the Eagle, I mean, and the Giants. And bro, as a DC, that's what they remember him for. They don't remember him for being a head coach. You can be Dan Quinn can be that. That's the pitch you need to give to him.
But they're already paying him better than a regular defensive coordinator salary. They did that to keep him.
They paid
him
big money.
Yeah.
And that's how they kept him. You keep doing that. Because you can do that. You got money. There's no cap on a coach. That doesn't go against your cap. So I say pay him the money and say, hey, you can go down as a greatest coach of all time. Yes, it's a DC, but hey, people talk about Buddy Ryan in reverence.
Wow.
That's a fact.
Stocks said I was Tubi before Tubi.
Dude, he was Tubi, man. The garbage picking head coach Carolina for this phenomenon made for TV movie. Straight to Tubi, baby. Straight to Tubi.
I'm gonna go ahead and say this before these playoffs even start.
Mm-hmm.
Thought about all these different championships and whatnot. And I think the Cowboys will end up in the NFC Championship this year.
Facts.
I honestly believe that. My only concern is who they're going to play. If it's San Francisco, you might have an issue. And then at the same time, if Detroit beats the Rams. You just might want to watch. They could be a possible dark horse team. I don't have faith in Philly because Philly has just sucked.
No.
Well, fuck, Philly gonna lose Monday night.
And that's what I'm saying. I don't have
no faith in Philly. Yeah.
So I think it's pretty much Cowboys is.
This is the year.
If they get past that San Francisco hump, they gonna
be taking my hat off. I'm gonna pull this down so people can see. Look, when you look at how it sets up, the Rams can beat San Fran. I believe that the Rams right now have a good chance to beat San Fran, and or Detroit can beat San Fran. I believe that. Okay. If that happens, it is the Cowboys to lose to get to the Super Bowl. Now, past that, I can't call anything because Baltimore is at their him, okay? Yeah. They are a beast. You cannot count them out at all, okay? But if San Fran is beat by any team, by the Rams or Detroit,
it's all belated.
You're going to see the Cowboys in the Super Bowl. You're going to see the Cowboys in the Super Bowl. Book it.
I agree, though. For real. I agree.
I'm not speaking that shit to existence. Fuck all that.
I'm just saying it's matchup. I'm not saying it in a fair perspective. I'm just looking at the whole thing.
You know the conversation we had. I told you when you were sitting up here making excuses with me, when Joe was over here, you know, well, I don't know, I don't believe you. I said, Joe, he's trying to soften the blow just in case they don't make it. So he was preparing himself. Reed, we did a show one night, and Jay Stiles was like, well, you know, I'm still not sold. They still have to do this, this, and this to prove to me that they can. And the nigga was trying, he was trying to soften the load just in case they fucked up and lost in the playoffs.
No,
realistically, when I said that Dallas and San Francisco are the two best teams in the NFC, I believe they should meet up again for the NFC Championship, and it will not be as easy as everyone thinks for San Fran like they did them the first time they played. I think Dallas has a legit chance to win that game and represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. I really do believe that. As much as you never hear me say, hey, do Cowboy.
Yeah, no, they're going to go. So listen to what I said. We're talking about go to the Super Bowl. Now, one of the things that we talked about was how that offense was set up, right? And the fact that Michael Gallup was getting more targets than CeeDee Lamb. That's an issue. And they're not going to win that way. And they weren't, okay? When they went on the road and they were trying to target Gallup 13 times a game and they were targeting CeeDee Lamb 7, that's ridiculous. That is insane. You're not going to win that way. But guess what happens? CeeDee Lamb says, look here, Mike. And Mike said, yo, what's up? What's going on? Look here, man. You got to pass me the damn ball. You got to give me the damn ball. Well, you know, I'm just trying to give Zach, you know, try to give him a chance. Just win and make sure, you know, he's going through the progression. No, hey, fuck all that. Pass me the ball. When you do that, guess what happens? You now have your number one receiver being a number one receiver. Michael Gallup is not a one. He's not a two. He's a three on a great day with a good knee.
Shit, he's a number five. What you talking about? Gallup sucks.
Well, I said three on a great day with a good knee. It ain't a great day, and he don't have a good knee. So there you go. I'm not going to put him past taking up a jersey
at this point.
Damn.
But I'm just saying. You say he's a jersey.
He's taking up a jersey. He just a roster spot. That's what he is.
You know, hey, but it's
grandizing. I can't imagine that. That would be awesome.
But they don't
want that for TV.
Bucks Browns. No one wants that. No one wants that.
That wouldn't be entertaining.
You're correct. No one.
Well, y'all ain't gotta be like that. It can be entertaining, bro.
Dude, that'll be a 5-2 game. The final of that game will be 5-2.
But the quarterbacks that you have now, Baker against
Hey man.
It'll be 5-2, bro.
We can score points. What are you talking about?
It'll be another 9-0 game.
No, it won't.
They all won against Carolina.
And that's a great game. Fuck what you heard. Defense is awesome to watch. I don't know what you motherfuckers are talking about. I'll take a 9-0 Super Bowl. I know all you high flying. The game has changed. We have to throw the ball. We have to score. Fuck that. Defense. Defense wins championships.
I love defense too, but people want to see the ball go down the field. They like that. They like big scores. They like shootouts. They don't want to see hard hitting, you know, in the trenches type of game.
Yeah, you're right.
So far, that's grass, right? Not so far. The so Vegas far. Field. Is that grass?
Vegas is turf. Did you see how raggedy it looked the last game of the season, too?
So far, it's a beautiful stadium. It's turf. I give them that. I was in Cali not too long ago. It's a beautiful stadium.
Okay, so it's a turf stadium, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean.
Very lit, though. Very lit.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's that old school grass in your helmet and, you know, in your face mask kind of deal where, you know, people don't want to see that anymore. They want to see, you know, high flying, like you said, just hey, let me see how deep I can throw the ball.
I miss the football played on the baseball field. I used to be like, I think the Raiders used to do that.
Hey, no, a couple teams did it. Yes, Reed, that shit sucks. Don't ever, you might have learned how that shit looked on TV. Dog, you hated when that ball got spotted in the fucking infield. You like, God damn, I'm on this baseball dirt. You couldn't get no grip. You slipping, you falling, it burn your forearms up. That shit is awful, dog.
Hey.
You think that, really? Wallace, you think they're going to beat the Rams?
I
don't
know they do,
they
man.
Can't. It's not like it would be like an upset.
I think this is a push. I think this is a game where either one can
beat the Cowboys. They just got cheated out of the game.
Rams beat us.
Stop. Stop. Stop it. Don't do that. Stop.
All right. But so, okay. I'm just going to say one thing.
That
y'all.
Was a fucked up call.
So,
man,
that big
over there and say
Jay Stock. Exactly. So, that big motherfucker walked over there and told
three people.
Okay. Shout out. Listen, though, Stock. Listen. Just listen. So you telling me that big motherfucker walked over there and said, hey, I like your referee shirt and walked back to the huddle? No, he reported eligible.
That was bull. I ain't gonna lie. That
first
was
of all, we don't know what was said, but I can imagine.
You know what was
said,
bro.
Big mofos over there.
You know.
No, you got three big mofos over there. And one guy says, I'm reporting. You don't know who said what. You just hear, I'm reporting. It's three cats over there so they can confuse the Cowboys. And they confuse the refs. That's their fault. One person, hey, I'm reporting. And you go. But you tried to be cute, and that's what you get. That's what you get. You got cute,
whatever,
and you lost.
Whatever makes it easy for you to live with, we will see. I think we'll see the Cowboys and Detroit face off again in the playoffs. Detroit gets revenge on Dallas for that win on that Saturday night. The Cowboys fans are saying fire Mike after that. I just changed my whole mind about the whole fucking playoffs just because of the way you answered that goddamn question.
I can see Cowboys in lines coming back. I can see them running that back. I see that. I could. But I still feel like Cowboys can be an absolute.
His style is moving. He's.
God, chopping up. I can't. It's just, you know, I just listen for my name. I'm like Cliff Huxtable, man. I just listen for my name.
No, I still think the Cowboys got a good chance of representing the NFC in the Super Bowl, though. I really do. I'm not changing my thought on that. But we getting hot at the right time. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, we need to, hey man, we need to do Oh Hell Now the other night, but before we move on to this, would you rather, I just got to ask the question, y'all. How many of y'all, did y'all watch the goddamn Cat Williams interview at all?
Watch the whole thing.
You watch the whole thing, Reed?
Watch the whole thing.
You watch it twice, Jay Suggs. You have 5 hours out your
whole thing.
You have 5 hours out your life to watch the whole Cat Williams interview.
It was in pieces, but I watched the whole thing. Yes, sir.
Yeah, this I had to watch it in pieces, but yeah.
I watched. Yeah, I mean it was a whole like 2:48.
Like damn,
I started watching. I stopped because I was like, I don't want to get pulled in here for 2 hours and 40 minutes.
I didn't think I pulled in for 2 hours and 40 minutes. You are. You pretty much hung on every word this man says, man. It's a damn good interview.
And he has another interview with someone else.
I think right he got after another that. One with Willie D. Really? I just wanted with Willie D. I need to check it out too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, now, that's it.
BGSC Network, the home where sports and entertainment collide. And there's no bigger entertainment figure when he puts himself out there as Cat Williams, because he's relevant enough for people in here to cross the bridge and sit down with everybody like to call Unc now, Uncle Shen, Uncle Shay Shay, whatever. Do y'all think that this helps sports? I mean, dude, I'm so amazed by this. Is the second most watched video in YouTube history now. The second most watched video or interview in YouTube history, to where now you got people that have never really knew who the hell Shannon Sharp was going back and checking out all his sports stuff as well. Is it a coincidence that it went down like this, or is it just something that's good that's out there, or I don't know, man. It's as crazy as hell to me.
Well, you know, Shannon part of the elite club, though.
When you say elite, what you mean? Like, I felt like it was.
Yeah, he's on that side over there.
So he on that Hollywood side?
Yeah.
You can't hear. You can't
hear.
No, I can hear.
Oh. No, I can hear. No, I can hear.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm just saying.
It's
definitely relevant. I mean, he's one of the things he said. And he was talking to Ocho Cinco and talking about Shay Shay, Big Unk, right? Was he said, look, I am not an interviewer. I have conversations. And that's what he put it out as, you know, people are like, well, you should have asked this. And you should, he's like, I just have conversations. And I ask questions, but I am not a trained interviewer. That is not what I do. I have conversations. And that's what he did. And I think what the question was, you know, as far as people seeing this and then going back and watching the sports stuff that he does, hey, whatever gets you there, because I'm going to tell you what, you know what Stephen A is nothing but, you know, clickbait, if you ask me. He's a troller. That's what he does. He trolls. He's a troller.
Hey, man, I know. But
he's
going to
find the topic and be on the other side.
Got you.
Oh, yeah, they've been going back and forth. I've seen that, man. I don't like neither.
So you want to see who's going to outdo who? Who's going to get the better of them? Because like you said, it's people they don't like Stephen A. and they hate Jason Whitlock even more. So it's like, I tell you what, let me see if Stephen A's going to get him. And there are people like, you know what, Whitlock's not bad, but I really hate Stephen A. So let me see if he's going to get him. It's first take all over again, right? So it's clickbait, man. And at that point, I'm like, look, if you spitting information or if you spitting something that can enhance the experience, like talking to Big Game and saying, hey, man, okay, tell me what it's like to play in cold weather. And he tells you, hey, I remember in Green Bay getting hit and I felt like my face fell off, like a crack and fell off on the ground. Like, there you go. You know what I'm saying? Like, Stephen A. don't have nothing like that. Jason Whitlock don't have nothing like that, man. They clickbait, bro.
Hey, but on the lines of the Cat Williams thing, with some of the stuff he said and getting at all the different people he came at, do you think it was necessary for him to come out with this interview and just, as he said, spill all the beans and talk about everybody the way he did? Was it a necessary evil that needed to be done? Or what did he gain? What did Cat Williams gain by hanging out with everybody in dirty laundry?
Look, I'm going to say this, man. This comes no matter what you're doing, especially when you have a face in the game, whatever the game may be, whether it's sports, whether it's entertainment, movies, whatever the case may be, everything that's done in the dark eventually has to come into the light.
Mm.
And whether it's you or whether it's all the other people that's inside of that entertainment cloud that you're in and all the people, your associates and whatnot, it's going to be somebody at some point in time that is going to eventually reveal some things that are going out. Doesn't matter, man, because at the end of the day, these things will always somehow at some point get reported, get, you know, told. So, I mean, it's only just a matter of time. Cat Williams just so happened to be the person to let the cat out the bag this time. But we've heard it in professional sports. We've heard it in movies. We've heard it in all sorts of things. Just Cat was the guy to do it this time. So it's got a lot of people, you know, looking scared and everything, you know, looking behind their backs. I mean, look at the shit with Diddy. Look at the shit with T.D. Jakes. Who would have thought, right? Who would have thought? It's a lot of people that knew this shit a long time ago, especially here locally.
About damn, yeah.
It's a lot of people knew that stuff. It just what so happened, it gets pushed out, and then finally your dirt is being exposed of what you really been doing. And it's usually the people that you really don't think is going to say something that ends up saying something and exposing this shit.
So, got to be more careful. Yeah.
Got to be careful.
Got to.
So, you know, he shit. It was bound to happen at some point in time. So, yeah, hell yeah, it's necessary. Hell yeah, it's necessary because that's how it's supposed to be in life.
I don't believe all the stuff he said, but you're right, Reed.
No, I'm serious. Something is eventually going to have to expose the shit that you're doing.
Yeah, you know, no, I feel you on that. I mean, and yeah, you said it best. What gets done in the dark will come to light if it's shit you shouldn't be doing. It happened. You're right. But I'm going to check it out because I feel, I mean, I've seen all, I just seen a bunch of the snippets and the clips and the cutouts, but I kind of want to just hear him lay it out there. And Shannon said he started talking and I didn't even have to ask no questions. I just let him talk. And so I just kind of want to see that.
He made some real good points, man. He made a lot of real good points, man. Really did.
Man, listen, just check out the reactions of people that he talked about. Like Ricky Smiley has already put something out. Cedric the Entertainer has already put something out, you know, as far as reactions to the interview. So,
ain't none of them said that he lied.
I'm just saying.
Ain't none of them able to say that he lied. But they in their feelings.
So y'all trying to say, Ricky Smiley had a contract where he had to dress up as a woman to do a movie with Cat Williams?
That's what Cat said. He had a contract that he put that in. But Cat made a good point. He said guys like Ricky Smiley and guys like Tyler Perry. So those guys are known for dressing as women. They can only do women roles. They can't do other kind of roles. That's what they're known for. So Tyler Perry can't be a believable man in a movie because you only see him as what? Medea. Uh-huh. Ricky Smiley can only be that old lady that he plays?
Bernice. Man, Tyler Perry was believable as Alex Cross, dog.
Name one male role that he's done that makes him believable. Everybody believes him when he dresses up as Medea.
I just said Alex Cross, man. He played a good part in that movie.
No, man. And then, and Tyler Perry makes movies for women. It's not for men.
No doubt.
None of his movies, none of these TV shows that he made to be on BET, none of that stuff is directed towards men or for men. It's for women.
Well, so you said when men watch it, they do it to keep their woman company. But you know your woman really want to tune in and watch.
But you gonna sit there and be watching that shit by yourself?
No. Nah, I ain't never watched the Madea by myself. You ain't never lied. I feel where you coming from on that, dog. No lies told.
All the queens, man, you watching that shit? No. The old one, nigga, no. He got about four BET shows. I ain't never seen one episode. Shit, what you talking about?
Man. Lord Jesus.
That wasn't lying. That shit really good. Look, it, and if you really pay attention, it started exposing that stuff a long time. You remember the first special, the very first special when he came out there, he talked about the magic party. And he said, Professor Ogilvy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. When he said he went to the party and saw all that stuff going on in the different rooms. And he said, is that Professor Opie? Mm-hmm. And everybody went crazy. We were trying to tell y'all. But you know,
yeah.
Folks just didn't want to pick up.
Yeah, I mean, at some point in time, man, you listen to and take in what's easier for you to believe. Especially if like, that's like if you're a hero or something else, something was going on for somebody and you just, you don't want to believe it. So you're going to find a reason for it not to be true until that shit come back again. You'd be like, damn, there's no lies told. Because not trying to be funny, but the one guy that he talked about, Weinstein, the one in Hollywood that's in all the trouble now, that he said he wasn't talking about, he tried to, he wanted to suck my penis. And I told him, no, somebody else that I met personally talked to me about being in Hollywood and how foul and messed up it was and that they couldn't, you know, they did some writing stuff, but they didn't really mess around with it because it was too much going on in Hollywood that they just could not associate themselves with. And that dude's name came up saying that a lot of people accused him of molesting them and raping them when they were young kids, auditioning for parts. And the next thing you know, they were written in blackballed out of Hollywood. And then all this stuff comes to light years later to where you realize that Corey Feldman and all those people, they told no lies. They were telling the truth about these fools the whole time. Man. Shit's crazy, bro.
Cat said that it was, Cat said in that interview, he said it was a thing. He was invited to a party or something like that, a meeting. He said it was him and it was another actor who just so happened to be Ludacris. And he said when they got to the thing, he said it was pretty much, it was an offer on the table that I guess you was going to get some money, but then you'll be in like 10 movies or something like that. And Cat wasn't with it. Cat left, he said, but obviously he said, well, how many Fast and Furious movies have they made since then?
Damn.
Luda been in with them, like all of them. Like, he's like,
right. Yeah, like
fuck.
Man.
Bro, it's a dirty game. It's a dirty game. And then shout out to my man T, man. Shout out to T Jones. I was just talking to him the other day about, he was saying about the gatekeepers, man. Well, I was asking him about, you know, and I've heard millions of stories about these guys coming to these parties and things like that. And they go into this back room with these top, these top executives that don't nobody know, they don't say their names or nothing like that. And I always wonder why they don't say their name. Why they don't, you know, when people make these accusations, how come they don't say the executive or the people that was in that room? How come they don't name those names?
Right.
Stuff like that, you know? And I always figured that if they was to even say something, they'd be dead within the week. You know, I'm serious. Like, they'd be dead within the week for exposing.
That's crazy. But now, I mean, ain't that crazy? Because you hear that Diddy's ex, supposedly she died unexpectedly, accidentally, you know, not knowing what's wrong. Then you start to think, you hear all these crazy things come out. You're like, was she killed because she was going to expose this fool?
She was a completely healthy woman. She was getting ready to write a book exposing some things about Diddy. Diddy showed up. The thing about is that I I'm not saying that I know everything, but I know people that know people that stuff over
there.
Stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? And they said Diddy got killers, man. That's why people really don't fuck with Diddy like that. Because Diddy got killers, man. Diddy got people that he can call and hire that could, you know, shut you up. And unfortunately, you know, she was one of them.
Shit.
She was one of them.
Ooh wee. Hey, man. We ain't going to turn this to no somber moment here on the Chop Shop
no.
on BGSE Network.
The Buff Nerd.
the Buff Nerd is trying to fix his Wi-Fi. And I know we were supposed to get into the Wild Card Weekend a little bit more. I put my predictions out there yesterday, but when it comes to, we can run through our predictions real quick. We got a, Avery got a would you rather for you guys. So we're going to do that. The Buff Nerd is trying to fix his Wi-Fi because he said he was just real choppy on his end, hard for him to see us. He's trying to fix that and come back on before we finish up. If he does not come back on, you can check out the Buff Nerd, Jay Stocks and I on the Big Game Sports Buzz Thursday nights, 8:30 p.m. Central Time here on the BGSE Network. And that's on Facebook, YouTube, and X. And we will start getting there. You can catch my man, A. Reed, on Man Cave Mondays on BGSE Network. But Reed, any you know, what's your predictions running down these games before we get ready and get out of here today, man? So Bills,
Steelers gonna beat Miami.
Go ahead, I'm with you on that one.
Casey will be Miami. I would like to see the Texans do an upset, but I think the Browns is gonna end up taking that game.
I picked the Browns too. What about Steelers, Bills?
Believe it or not, I want to pick Steelers. Might be Bills. I want to say Steelers for an upset. I just don't have faith in Bills like that.
And Reed, when I did my short yesterday and my picks, my wild card weekend picks, I said the Bills are a better team and should win, but my heart is telling me that this is going to be the Steelers. And I said Bills, but realistically, I don't trust Josh Allen. So if Pittsburgh wins that game, wouldn't surprise me.
Pittsburgh win this game, you got to start shaking up Buffalo. You got to start shaking up Buffalo.
Damn, that's facts. That's facts right there. That's facts right there. And then on the NFC side, Green Bay and Dallas, I think we all got the Cowboys in that one.
Dallas will win that, yeah.
Detroit and the Rams, I switched my pick twice in that game. But I said Rams yesterday. I said Detroit on Thursday. And right now, I feel like I'm leaning back towards Detroit again.
Yeah, I'm going to say Detroit. I'm going to say Detroit. That's a hungry team.
Yeah,
okay. That's a hungry team.
And then when it comes to Tampa Bay and the Philadelphia Eagles, not just being a homer because I'm rocking the hat, and y'all see the jersey back there, it's not because I rocked it. It's just because I believe the Philadelphia Eagles turned into a straight disaster. They're banged up. I believe that we can take advantage of them at home on Monday night, man. So I really think Tampa can win that game.
Tampa with the upset, man.
Yeah.
Tampa with the upset.
Yeah. So all that being said, man, we about to listen. What you got for me on that would you rather, dog? Because I know you shock me sometimes, bro, make it hard for me to pick.
I try, man. But, you know, I try to make it cool, man. I try to make it cool. But here's one for you, man. So just put yourself in the mind as a head coach. Right? You're a head coach, and you and the owner don't see eye to eye. And the owner has already told you that you're going to be released or you're going to be replaced at the end of the season. You got one game left in the season before your tenure is up. Are you winning this game, or do you not give a damn at all?
Oh, damn. See, there's two ways you can take that, Reed. I like that question. I can say F you to the owner and just lose the game and not care. But me personally, knowing in that situation, I'm done, not going to be there a long time, going to move on. I'm going to need to win that game to help my resume, help me get another job. So I'm going to try to win that game.
Makes sense.
At the end of the day, when it comes down to it, and a lot of your coaches have been in that situation, you know, most of these guys are going to try to do it for their players. So they still got your best interest. And so even though you want to stick it to the man, for the most part, you know, that real coach is going to be like, look, I got my dogs here. We're going to go out. We're going to try to get this last one together. Then I'm going to be, you know, then I go on about my business.
Right on. Okay. Let me eat this last one right here, man.
All right.
Would you rather want a coach, or would you rather want a quarterback who's an asshole that you will follow through the season?
Damn.
Like somebody you can't stand. Would you rather just, I mean, you know what I'm saying? You had beef with that quarterback, but you got to deal with this motherfucker for the whole season.
It depends on the type of asshole. If it's the type of asshole as a coach to where he's doing it to get the best out of me, knowing that he can pick my buttons, I'm going to take that because he can get the most out of me. If you're an asshole as a quarterback, but you're still not performing, I can't have you be an asshole and can't get the job done, dog. That's not going to work at all. So I'm going to say give me the butthole coach. It's hard to take. That's a good one, Grandizer. It's hard to accept sometimes, but at the same time, you know, Grandizer said Aaron Rodgers. So Aaron Rodgers is that butthole coach. But sometimes I think he made it about him more so than about the team of winning when he was in Green Bay late. I don't know. I'm going to say coach, bro. What about you, Reed?
It'd have to be coach. It'd have to be coach. I'm saying because to have a quarterback, especially if I had a quarterback that was such an asshole, like it'd be some fights in the locker room. And then especially like you said, what if he's over here throwing picks and he's all that old bullshit, man? Like, man, fuck you, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, ain't nobody paying attention to your book. Because, you know, you can tell, like, you can tell when it just, you know, the old linemen won't block. They'll let you get sacked. Listen to them. They'll let you get sacked.
Like, oh, shit.
Man, you go right past me, man. Knock his ass out.
Now, Grandizer, I did not have Jeff George on my team. He was with Washington, the Redskins at the time when I had a chance to get one of my first sacks. So, never played with him. Hey, Wallace, thanks, man, for tuning in, brother. We appreciate your support every single time you come on here. And, man, make sure y'all continue to tune in and share the podcast with your favorite people. Hey, man, it's been a long time. I'm glad we had a chance to come on here today to do this Chop Shop. Again, I'm Big Game James. This is the Musicologist A. Reed. You can catch us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X. You can also listen to us on your favorite podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and a couple more. So make sure y'all tune in. Hit those links below. They'll take you to all our stuff. And until next time, we appreciate it. Make sure y'all catch my man A. Reed Mondays on BGS Network for MCSP Radio and Man Cave Express. Until next time, peace.
Peace.